West Coast Catholic just dropped our brand new Catholic sweatshirt collection, and you are going to live in these this fall and winter because I know I am. This launch is all about wearable witness. It's cozy, elevated pieces that make it easy to rep your faith in your everyday style. Think premium, heavyweight sweatshirts with kind of trendy, minimal Catholic girl aesthetic designs. The kind that you can just throw on with your leggings or jeans and still feel put together while letting your faith really speak for itself and evangelizing on the go. We have three different designs that you're going to love. Our varsity Catholic mock neck, our country club style Kingdom Club half zipped, or the soft and simple Ave Maria crew neck. Every single piece is made to feel comfortable, flattering, and so easy to style throughout the fall and winter. And they're limited quantity. So once this sells out, we're not sure if we're going to restock, or maybe we will, but in different colors. So if you love what you see, this is your sign to get it. Don't wait. Go ahead and click the link in the show notes or visit westcoastcatholic.co to shop the collection. Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Ever Be. Today I've got Trey on as a guest again.
Hey, I'm back.
It's been a while, I feel like, since you've been on the podcast.
Like for a full episode, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do the after parties every week that I'm on.
But so now you're on Ever Be stuff kind of a lot.
But not for a full episode.
But not for a full episode.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for today's. If you are on Patreon, you are probably watching this on video or you're able to, and you can see that I'm wearing the brand new West Coast Catholic sweatshirt. It's the Catholic Varsity mock neck one. And I've got the gold Dainty Sacred Heart necklace. And I just am so happy that it's launched and that it's out there. I've had it for a long time. And there's been so many times where I'm wearing it around the house and I sit down to record a podcast. And then I'm like, ugh.
I have to change.
Like, I have to take the sweatshirt off because it's not launched yet and like people can't see it yet. So yeah. I'm so glad that I just get to wear it and just like have it on the podcast and on video because I truly wear it. Like, I wear these sweatshirts all the time.
You've been obsessed.
I've been obsessed. They're so comfy and they're so cute. So anyways, that's that. Today we're going to be chatting about five different types of marital communion. I did a little bit of like a story series on this months ago, maybe like 6 months ago or so, or maybe even almost a year ago. It's a while, but it got so many story views and so many conversations were happening in my DMs. And so it seemed like it was like a topic that really piqued your interest, that you wanted to learn more about, that maybe you hadn't ever heard about in any sort of marriage like formation or anything like that. So I'm excited to dive a little bit deeper in them today.
Yeah, me too. I mean, this has been a big part of our marriage and our relationship. And I do think it's going to be really, really beneficial and helpful to a lot of you guys.
Yeah. Well, before we dive in, let's start off with our Ever Be Moments segment. Yeah, this is your first Ever Be Moment.
First Ever Be Moments. I was wondering if you were going to remember.
Yes, I did remember.
Do you have one? Or do I have to go first?
How about you go first? I usually have my guests go first.
Okay, great. Well, we might have the same one. The Ever Be Moment was going to Colombia last week. We spontaneously booked a flight last weekend on Saturday night and flew out Sunday to fly to Colombia, South America, where Mari grew up, and visit her family. Mm-hmm. And it felt so like peaceful and like we were meant to go. Like, I felt very driven and led by the Holy Spirit to do that. Like, there was just, even though it was kind of a crazy trip and last minute, and it just felt very like of the Lord, and there is a lot of peace in there. And then obviously the trip was amazing, and being able to see Mari's family and her grandma and see the house and the place where she grew up was really special. And so that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of going to say the same thing, basically. Like, it was such a crazy spur of the moment thing, but for some reason it just felt like God was working in it. Like, for some reason God called us to go, and I think it was a very special trip that we're going to cherish forever. We made so many memories in such a short amount of time together and with my extended family. And I just know the Lord was really present in those moments. And we also were able to give my grandma holy water to bless her house before she sold her house. That's why we went down there. Did you already say that? No, right?
Not why we went down, no.
Yeah, yeah. So if you didn't see on Instagram, we flew down to Colombia like literally one day to the next because my grandma told me she was selling her house. And I thought I was going to be okay not like saying goodbye to the house. And Trey had never been to Colombia, so he like never got to see the house. And I was like, that's fine. I'll get over it. And a couple weeks went by and then I couldn't get out of my head. And I was like, Trey, we have to go to Colombia. And then it happened to be that my dad was flying the next day to Colombia for like a work thing. And he was like, just come with me.
Yeah.
And we were like, what? Okay. And so we booked flights for the next day. And that's why we were down there. But yeah, it was so beautiful. Oh yeah. And we were able to give my grandma holy water to bless her home and just have like a beautiful like closing to this chapter of my grandma's home in Colombia. Although I still have very high hopes that maybe I can convince my dad to buy it or not sell it basically. And keep it. So yeah.
Yep. Okay. Now back to the episode.
Five types of marital communion. So where did we get this from? We are not marriage therapists or marriage experts.
Nope.
We've only been married like 4.5 years or so. And so we're still very much learning, but we both are super passionate about God-centered marriages and healthy marriages. So I feel like at this point in our relationship, dating, engagement, and marriage, we've actually like dove into like marriage resources like quite a bit.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, we did a marriage retreat with the JP2 Healing Center that's based out of Florida. They flew here to Colorado and they hosted a retreat. And it was so incredible.
Yeah.
Like highly recommend for anybody.
If there's ever a JP2 Healing Center, that's what it's called, retreat going on in your state or even a few states over it, you can drive to or get to, I would definitely recommend
it. So recommend. The marriage one is called Unveiled. And it is like we went just like a year and a half into marriage. Or maybe it's
like 2 years into marriage.
2 years into marriage. And we were like, what do we have to go for?
We're newlyweds. We don't have like serious issues.
Yeah.
Like we have like, you know, kinks that we're working out,
sure.
But like in normal marriage stuff, but like not like problems.
Right. And and newsflash, like you don't need to have problems to go to a retreat, right?
Definitely.
It's just an opportunity to deepen your marriage, deepen your relationship with the Lord and like root your marriage in Christ. And so we went and we just were so grateful that we went. And in one of their sessions, they talked about 5 types of marital communion. So this is like their content that we're just going to share with you guys that we learned. And we'll share with you guys what those 5 types are. We're going to share a little bit about like how we've experienced strengthening that certain type of marital communion in our relationship. And then they taught us what are the obstacles to that like aspect of marital communion and what are some practices you can do to kind of bridge that gap and strengthen that part of your marriage. So I really hope it's going to be like really like hands-on kind of workshop-y style here. Yeah. Bring your husband, your wife, and a notebook and like take notes because it's going to be really good.
Yep.
All that to say, I just want to start out by saying that like communion and unity in your marriage isn't like automatic and doesn't just happen because you're married and in love, right? Mm. Marriage takes work and you've probably heard of that. And it doesn't just take work because sometimes it's hard and you have to like work at like loving each other. It just takes work to have a beautiful, healthy marriage because it doesn't happen on its own. It's cultivated and we have to put in the time and the energy to give to our spouse, to recognize where we can better love our spouse, recognize different ways that we can connect, that we can stretch each other, that we can connect and grow in different parts of our relationship.
Yeah, and everything you're saying, Mari, like marriage isn't held together by feelings or compatibility, but it's held together by communion, which is the unity of two lives becoming one. Mm-hmm. And so, like Mari said, communion isn't automatic. It's not like because you're married, you have communion. Mm-hmm. It's takes work. And so communion is cultivated, just like Mari said.
Yeah. And it happens over time too, right? Mm-hmm. And there's different facets of your marriage that you can connect on and that will strengthen your marriage as you kind of like strengthen these different like parts of your marriage. And that can happen over time too. So I'm sure that like there's ways that we've grown together in these just 4.5 years
yep.
that then like there's going to be other ways we grow together in our like 5 to 10 years of marriage and then other ways in 10 to 20. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So also as you're listening to these, definitely like lean into all of them, but also know that like growth happens over time and your marriage isn't going to be like completely transformed overnight.
Yep.
Okay. Let's jump in.
Great. What are the 5 types of communion, Mari?
Okay. 5 different types of marital communion. I have my little chart up from the workbook that we did on the retreat. We have spiritual unity, emotional intimacy, companionship, teamwork, and sexual intimacy. These are 5 different areas of marital communion that are going to bring you together and strengthen your marriage and give you an opportunity to connect on so many different levels.
Okay.
We'll go through one by one. Okay. First one is spiritual unity. What is spiritual unity? Spiritual unity is the foundation for a Christian marriage. It is building your home in the Lord. It flows from the graces of your sacrament, and it's really about living the true meaning of your covenant with God and each other. So it's that spiritual connection that you both have in your marriage that's rooted in God. And I think an important part of spiritual communion is recognizing that your marriage is actually a sacrament, not a legal binding arrangement. It's not a contract, but it's a covenant, right? It's like this. Like, how do you explain covenant again?
Well, covenant is, it's like if there's relationship, like a covenant takes a relationship to the next level.
Yeah.
Like it's a more serious, it's like in the Old Testament, when they would exchange covenants, there's oftentimes like a blood type thing. It's like you become family.
It's like family bonds are formed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So that's an important thing to remember. Like your marriage is actually a spiritual sacrament. There are graces that flow through it and there's great spiritual importance and like meaning behind that. It's not just like an agreement or just 2 people living in a house, right?
Yep. And I think too, like obviously us being Catholic, it's like the spiritual part is very real. And it's like we're body and soul. And so there's levels of unity in here that relate to your emotional and your physical as like the body and your emotions. But then there's also like, we can't forget the soul and the spiritual. And like ultimately the spiritual aspects of our beings are often like the most intimate parts of our being.
Oh yeah.
And so I know people like couples like print like they would rather like be, you know, in other areas of intimacy are way easier for them than spiritual intimacy. Mm-hmm. And that's like really challenging because it's so
deep and
like raw and vulnerable. And so yeah, I mean obviously it's very, very important.
Yeah. So what are some ways that we have strengthened our spiritual unity throughout the years?
Well, I know you've said this in the podcast before, but I think the biggest like strength and asset that we have in our marriage for spiritual unity is the fact that we pray together every single night.
Yeah.
Every single night before we go to bed, right before we drift off to sleep, we're laying in bed and we'll just alternate who prays that night. Mm-hmm. And so it's just very casual, just a free prayer. Thanking God for the day and sharing any intentions that we have or petitions and praying for people in our life or things going on in our lives. Or if one of us is having a bad day or a rough time or there's like a certain, there's like anxiety or stress or
like a need that one of us has.
Yeah, then we'll like pray, like do intercession prayer for that person. Sometimes it takes like, it's a 10-second prayer and sometimes it's like a 5-minute prayer. And so it varies, but
that's like our anchor.
That's our anchor.
And I can't recommend that enough to other married couples. It's such a simple practice that once you build up the habit, like it stays forever and it's so easy to do, but it's so anchoring in your relationship so that there's always that moment where you are like sharing your marriage with the Lord. And you're like being open and vulnerable with your spouse and like praying together to the Lord and then praying to the Lord on behalf of each other. It's just,
yeah.
Beautiful.
And,
I love it.
And it's like, it actually is so easy.
It is.
Like, it's so easy. I would say that's like the easiest way to incorporate spiritual intimacy into your marriage is a short, quick bedtime prayer.
Yeah.
Also, the friends that we have lots of friends who do have kiddos, and they'll do their family prayer before they put the kids down mm-hmm. for bed. So at 7 all or together. 8 or 9 p.m., like, they'll pray together as a family, do a very similar thing to what Mari and I do, or sometimes they'll incorporate the gospel reading of the day or something else. But just a quick 2-minute family prayer. They like invite the kids to pray for their intentions and thank God for things going on in their life. Yeah. And it's really beautiful. And then they put the kids down to bed. So if you have kids, you can also include them in it.
Yeah, I love that. Another way that we've connected on spiritual unity is like reading spiritual books together. And that's either been like marriage books that are like from a Catholic perspective, or at least like, I know that there's been times where we've either read the same spiritual book at the same time, or you've read it and you're like, oh, that's so good, you should read it. Mm-hmm. And then we get to like chat about that a little bit. And so it just opens the door for spiritual conversations.
Yep. Yeah. I think other things you could do is obviously go to mass together. That should be a given. But you can include a daily mass together with your spouse, or like what Marielle will do is we'll go to adoration occasionally. We'll just both go to the adoration chapel mm-hmm. for 30 minutes, an hour.
Yeah.
And do that like once a week or even once a month is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because praying together is what's going to strengthen that spiritual unity. And it's cheesy, but it's so true. Like the couple that prays together stays together. And prayer is a weapon that you use against spiritual attack in your marriage. Mm-hmm. Marriage is so beautiful and so powerful, and it is our path to sanctity, to heaven. And so it's going to be very heavily attacked in different ways throughout your marriage. And so the more that you're rooted and anchored in Christ together, the less susceptible you are to spiritual attack, which actually the obstacle of spiritual unity is apathy and spiritual warfare. What do you think of when you hear that? Apathy and spiritual warfare. What does that look like?
I mean, the first thing I think of is just how we have experienced that in our life, in our marriage. I think in the spiritual life, there's always going to be consolations and desolations. There's just going to be a natural rhythm to that. And God will provide consolations, and he might not provide the consolations, and it'll feel like he's absent. The important thing, though, is that during those times of desolation, when you feel like God's far away, you feel like there's dryness in prayer, or you feel very distant, that the important thing is that you keep the habits that you had during the consolations. That's one of the pieces of advice that St. Ignatius gives in his spiritual exercises, is that when you are in desolation, don't change anything. And so just be consistent, be diligent. Have the discipline and just continue showing up for prayer. And I feel like that's, in our life, that's where things can go awry, or where these obstacles get hard, or where there is disunity in spiritual, in our spiritual unity, is when there is apathy and it's like, oh, I feel like God's far away, so I'll just stop praying altogether. And they'll be like, weeks that go out of time, and I'll be like, oh, wow, I haven't prayed in like a week. And so it's because I just don't care, that apathy. And so the devil will always try to tempt you with apathy. And so I feel like that's definitely been an impact. And when we are conscious of that and we
are intentional
to like resist that temptation and like lean into prayer, then you can feel like it's a very tangible effect that you feel the spiritual intimacy or spiritual unity coming back.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Okay. The practice that will restore any gaps or like breakage that you have in spiritual unity is going to be praying and worshiping together, not just individually. Obviously, our individual spiritual lives are super important and should be a priority, but what's going to strengthen that in your marriage is doing that together. So that would be like what Trey said, praying together every night, attending sacraments together, even like worship music together. Like, we don't do this a lot anymore, but we did when we were missionaries, like even as a group, but like having us be together there, I think helped like strengthen it for me. But like playing worship music and just like praying with worship music on, you know what I mean? Like moments where you come together in prayer and worship is going to strengthen that.
Yep. Okay. That's spiritual unity.
Next, what do we have, Trey?
We have emotional intimacy. So the definition of this is...
Let me see.
Emotional intimacy is essential union in marriage for many reasons. It allows you to feel close, understood, and valued by each other. It is also key for maintaining teamwork, reconciliation, spiritual and sexual intimacy, and for finding joy in marriage.
It's so important.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like if you think about emotional intimacy, I feel like that's when people experience love, that's what they're mostly experiencing, is that form of intimacy. There's obviously five different types of intimacy, but when you experience like that feeling of falling in love, it's typically in this emotional intimacy category. And it's also from what this definition from this retreat book is giving us, it's the key for maintaining teamwork, reconciliation, spiritual and sexual intimacy, and for finding joy in marriage. So it's almost like the bedrock.
It's like the glue.
Like the foundation that then can hold all the other stuff. Because if you're not, if you don't have emotional intimacy, then spiritual intimacy will be really hard because it's very vulnerable. And then sexual intimacy is very hard as well. It's very important.
Yeah, I was thinking about it as like the glue that holds everything together. Or like you said, the foundation that the house is built upon, like that needs to be rock solid for the other ones to also be able to thrive. Okay, so how have we tried to grow in and strengthen emotional unity in our marriage?
Well, I'd say you, Mari, are really good at this. I think this is like your strength.
Oh, thank you.
And
tell me how.
So you'll like, there'll be moments where you like you are just craving emotional intimacy. And so you'll like put everything away. You'll like put your phone down or you'll put your food down or whatever you're working on or whatever you're doing. You'll like close the laptop and you'll just like scoot up really close to me and just like need to have physical contact with it. And like either hold my hands or put my hands on your legs or and then just like stare into my eyes and be like, okay, let's connect. How are you?
Tell me how you're feeling.
Yeah, like tell me your emotions. What do you feel right now?
I do ask you that a lot where I'm like, tell me how you feel.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll like do some follow-up questions because I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe it's you or maybe it's men in general have a harder time like pinpointing what a feeling is called or what they're feeling, like putting words to that, right? So just asking how you feel sometimes as a wife, you just kind of get the answer like, good. Yeah, I'm great, you know? Or like, I told you how I feel. It's all great. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know. I'm just stressed. I don't know. And there's only like one word attached to it, right?
Yep.
And so sometimes I try and like do some follow-up questions to kind of dig deeper.
Yeah, like prodding questions.
Not prodding, just
but yeah.
Like I just
want lovingly.
Lovingly learning more about what you're feeling internally. Because I think the more open we can be with our spouse of how we're doing internally, the more understanding and compassion we have for our spouse, the more we understand their behavior, where they're coming from, what their needs are, how we can support and love them, which is what we want to do.
Of course. And then also there's times where if it feels like, wow, it's been a few days or it's been a week of just feeling a little bit distant from each other, like we're just not connecting, then we'll just be like, okay. It is time for a date. We need a
date night.
So then we'll go out to dinner and just like make sure we put everything away and just
talk
and try to reconnect. So
yeah.
And emotional intimacy, what it is it's vulnerability without the fear of rejection. And so I just think back to like the Garden of Eden where there's like this shame, like sin enters the world and shame enters the world. And there's that fear of rejection. There's that fear of like needing to cover yourself and protect yourself. So emotional intimacy is like the opposite of that. It's that true vulnerability with your spouse without the fear of rejection. And it's just ultimately being seen and know and just safe with your spouse.
Yeah. And another thing that comes to mind is like it's about sharing truly like your inner world, not just updates that could easily be shared with anybody or seen from anybody on the outside. So often when you ask someone, like, how are you doing, you get a response of what they did that day or, like, what they've been up to versus, like, we want to respond, like, how are we actually emotionally? What have we experienced interiorly that day or that week or that month, whenever it's being asked? Because that is a window into, yeah, our interior world, which is important to share that with our spouse.
Yep.
So an exercise that we learned to be able to practice this well is a sharing and a listening exercise. And this works for multiple scenarios, for just having good conversation and learning how to share emotions and feelings and learning how to be a good listener. Also really works for moments of conflict when you need to discuss something and you really want to make sure that you're being understood and you're seeking to understand your partner.
I would say not just conflict. Like, yes, it is a very good tool for conflict. It's also a really good tool just for, like, important conversations.
Yeah.
Like, or when you're trying to make a decision or work through an important problem or issue.
Yeah. And I'll just say, like, trust the process. Like, at first you might be like, really, is that necessary? But, like, we've done it and it's really helpful. So basically one person goes first, let's say the wife goes first, and she shares for like 5 minutes, and she shares her thoughts on the matter or concerns that she have, shares her emotions. She gets to talk for 5 minutes. Maybe she's sharing something joyful and she just wants to express something, right? Like, she shares for 5 minutes. And the husband's role is to be a listener. And he's actively listening. He's making eye contact. Body language is so important for active listening and making sure that, like, the two people feel, like, actually connected and engaged. So he's, like, making eye contact, nodding, not distracted, right? And then when she's done, he kind of reflects back what she said to him to validate what she has shared, as well as, like, clarify anything in case he heard something wrong, right? So what you can do is, like, oh, that's amazing, right? Like, add some validation. Thanks so much for sharing. It sounds like, and then you kind of repeat back, like, a summary. Or
what I heard you say or what I understood you to say is this. And then this is really helpful because it, one, gives, in this case, Mari or the wife, like, the validation that she's being understood.
And heard.
And then two, it also gives the chance for re-clarification if there was a miscommunication. Because so often, like, the little fights and arguments are all just because of miscommunication. Mm-hmm. And so if I say, what I understood you to say is this, blah, 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 and then there was something that I understood her to say that was incorrect, then Mari can respond like, oh, yes, like, that was all right. But that one little part here, like, that's not actually what I meant. Here's another way for me to say it to mm-hmm. clarify mm-hmm. what it is that I meant.
And basically when you're doing it in the context of a conflict or a hard discussion or something like that, you're technically supposed to keep going until what the other person, the listening person, has reflected back is accurate. Like, if the person who spoke is like, that's not actually what I said, she gets a chance to, like, reiterate what she said, and then he reflects back, okay, so is it this, right? And then once it's actually accurate, then you're able to move on. And that way both parties feel like, I actually understand and I am being understood.
Yeah.
Obstacles, though, to doing this, to connecting on an emotional level deeply, is going to be wounds and bitterness. Every Sacred Sunday just released an heirloom quality coffee table style catechism, and it is stunning, you guys. It is the full text of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, all 536 pages, thoughtfully designed with over 100 curated beautiful images from other Catholic photographers. So the beauty of the church isn't just read through this catechism, it's seen and it's prayed with. This is the kind of book you want to leave out on your table to spark conversation, reflection, and deeper prayer. It's bound in a gorgeous cloth hardcover, intentionally made to last. Something that I know I'm going to be reaching for years and one day pass on. And with every purchase, you'll also receive a free companion ebook called The Truth and Beauty Project, which walks through the inspiration and the artwork behind its design. So if you've been longing for a more beautiful way to engage with church teaching, something that just feels gorgeous, beautiful, stunning, and sacred in your hands, this is such a gift to bring into your home or to gift somebody this coming Christmas and holiday season. So click the link in the show notes and use code EVERBE for a discount at checkout. Okay, I've got to tell you about the new Truly Free deal for this month because it's on one of my favorite products of theirs. Their dishwasher soap has been a total game changer for us. No toxic residue, no film on the dishes, just clean, safe, sparkling plates, and no worries about having any chemical residue on our dishes and then going into our bodies, which is the really the least that we should be asking for, right? And right now they're running this crazy good promo, which gets you 50 free loads of their dishwasher soap, plus two of their dish detox must-haves, which is a rinse aid and a dishwasher cleaner for free. I've already stocked up because I never want to go back to the chemical-filled stuff I was using before that you just get at the regular store. So check out the link in the show notes and make the swap with me for literally only $39. And this is just part of life. We all have wounds. We all have ways that we have been hurt in the past or even hurt each other and our spouses. And I think that's something that you learn really quick as a married couple. Like, you think that you're never going to hurt each other because, of course, like, your intention is not to hurt each other. But because we're broken and we're human, like, we do. Mm-hmm. We hurt each other. We wound each other. Things that we say or do have a lasting impact on our spouse. And these can be obstacles to connecting on emotional unity because it breaks trust in a sense, right? It breaks trust and safety that you can actually be so vulnerable and open up in an emotional sense to your partner. So ways to kind of repair this that we learned is expressing and listening, which it's kind of like an interesting cycle because it's like you don't want to express and listen because you've been hurt and you're bitter and often those things have been unspoken. But then the anecdote to that is you actually have to express and listen. So my advice, I think, would be to like start small and work your way up. Don't start by sharing like the biggest thing that you've held on to for like a long time and haven't been able to share or your biggest argument. But start off with like sharing something joyful or like happy or something that you've enjoyed recently. Start by sharing something like positive or maybe emotionally neutral.
Yeah.
And practicing that back and forth, and then moving on to harder topics over time or over the conversation. And the more that you do that, the more you build up emotional unity and intimacy because the more trust is being built, the more safety is being built. Mm-hmm. When you're sharing your feelings and emotions, you're being listened to, received, not judged, validated, and then reflect back what you heard. You're going to slowly build up that trust.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that just puts a lot of emphasis, like the two antidotes to the obstacles for this is listening and expressing. And so that puts a lot of importance on the listener, like the person receiving and what their like body language is during the time that the person's expressing and the way that they can show that they understood the other person. And just like the act of listening and then like the gentleness that follows receiving the person who's sharing like that, I think most of the emphasis needs to be put on the listener. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to like go out in faith and like be brave sometimes and share hard things and be the person that's like expressing and sharing things that might be a little bit scary to share. But I think the brunt of the weight needs to be put on the receiver. And like the way you can cultivate emotional intimacy is by receiving well. And that means listening well, and that means being gentle and receiving the other well.
Yeah. And I think that that's something that I've had to work on too, is like receiving versus reacting. Because it's so easy, especially if you're someone with a stronger personality or you're very decisive or you don't struggle with what to say, right? You never have a lack of words. Like you immediately have a reaction to something. And you're so right that to build that trust and emotional unity, like you need to be received when you do share those things. And so really shifting our mindset from like receiving our spouse, reflecting back to them so that they're understood, and then sharing a reaction, that is so helpful to build up that relationship. Last thing I would say is that going back to the wounds and bitterness, another anecdote to that is just going to be forgiveness, constant forgiveness. Yes. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is really hard, and asking for forgiveness is hard, and apologizing, it's really hard. And so the more we can do that, like on a daily basis, not even just waiting for the really big thing, but on a daily basis, I feel like we try and practice that a lot. You know, we don't let little things build up or just kind of shove them under the rug. Like if one of us is like not talking to each other in the nicest tone, like you'll be able to tell, right? And the other person will kind of say something about it. And the hope is that we would be able to grow and increase our ability to like ask for forgiveness and apologize and forgive frequently for little things throughout our day, so that then when the big things come around, we already have that foundation, that trust built up of like, we apologize and we forgive.
Yep. That's huge.
All right. Next.
All right. Number three.
Okay. Next is companionship. And I love this one because it reminds me of in the Garden of Eden when the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone, right? Like he created a helper, a companion, a partner for Adam to do life with. And so this is a super important part of marriage. And one of God's purposes in creating marriage is companionship. He wanted us to have partnership, someone to share life with. Companionship is spending time together in our work and especially in recreation to strengthen the bonds of unity in marriage. So this is like having common goals that you are working towards together, I feel like. And it can be both, like it was saying, work or recreation, because it provides opportunities for you to do things together, like recreational things together, where you are, sharing a common goal. I think so often in marriage, we have a unique situation because we work together and we live together and we have the same job, right? But most marriages we know, most friends that we know, husband goes off to work, maybe the wife also works or she's at home, and then they have separate interests or separate activities. Mm-hmm. And that's not bad at all. I mean, that's great, right? But there are a lot of opportunities to do things separately or to engage in different interests separately. But strengthening your companionship in marriage is going to be doing things together to strengthen friendship as the core of your marriage so that you're enjoying life together. You're not just coexisting together under the same roof. So that's having moments of shared joy, of play, of laughter, of working towards something together. And I feel like friendship is something that we focus so much in our dating years and maybe even engagement, but then can be a little bit more lost in marriage. Yeah. But really strengthening that friendship aspect of marriage is going to make your marriage so much stronger and going to bring so much joy to your relationship.
Yeah. And so what I would say is I feel like there's that fear that we probably have all seen or know couples that are like this, or we're afraid of becoming this in our later years. But like that saying, like, we're just ships passing in the night. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, your work, like, yeah, most couples don't work together, but the work, you could classify work as the, like, running the household operation, like getting the kids to school, getting them fed, getting the groceries done, getting them to all their extracurricular activities, like planning the, you know, double dates with your friends or like whatever the outings are. Like, there's a lot of like life that is happening that's just like maintenance. That is just kind of like the requirement to just keep up on life. And that can also like be classified just as like work. And you can do all that together, which is good. But it's like, if that's all you're doing together and not doing the recreational stuff, then it's like you're only doing the work together and you're not doing the recreational. So then you're not having true companionship, is what I would say. And so then like that's how you become, you know, two people living two separate lives, just living under the same roof. And like that's not what anybody wants. That's, you don't go into marriage with the desire to be like, I want to live my own life just under the same roof as somebody else.
Right. No.
Like so.
Yeah.
So I think the thing that really strengthens this is that recreational companionship.
Yeah.
And so what we're taught from this retreat is that the obstacles to companionship are isolation and selfishness. And so I think that what that is it is what I was just saying about like living separate lives. Mm-hmm. Like you just want to do what you want to do. And it's easier just to do it by yourself than to invite your spouse into it. Mm. And so, or you are feeling maybe a little bit emotionally disconnected from your spouse. And so
you choose to isolate.
And so the choice of isolation or the selfishness of like, yeah, I know like Mari's inviting me to join her.
To watch a show with her.
But I don't like that show. So I'm just going to go watch my show upstairs. Mm-hmm. Like that, like choosing that selfish or that isolating activity instead of that companionship.
Mm, yeah. Choosing moments to do things together.
Yep. So those are the obstacles. Do you want to share what the solution is?
Yeah. So the solution, I think, would be to find moments of recreational connection together or activities that you can do together. And a way to kind of explore what those are, have, you know, one spouse go first and share different moments that they have really enjoyed doing something together with you. And then the other spouse will share that, right? And you kind of practice that same like listening, reflecting, kind of that whole thing to have a good conversation about it. But you both kind of reflect on, these are moments when I really enjoy doing this activity with you or doing this, you know, working on this together with you. Other spouse shares. And then you see if there's any commonalities or common ground, maybe common memories that you had that you both enjoyed. And then you can also just discuss like, okay, moving forward, what is something that we can work on together, or what are moments of recreational activities that we could do together? One way that I've specifically tried to lean into this into marriage is by learning to play golf with you.
Yes.
Like, once I realized how important golf was to you in your life.
How much time that you could be spending with me that you weren't spending with me because I was golfing.
Yes, I was like, I need to learn to love golf if I want to spend more time with my husband, which is hilarious because we already spend so much time together. But no, honestly, it was because I wanted to do something recreational together. Mm-hmm. And I know like sports is something that you love, but it's not something that I really love. And like this was a sport that I felt like I could possibly get into and I could be open to.
Yeah, you wear a cute outfit, you drive a golf cart, and
the outfit was the gateway.
You get to like just go out and hang out with your spouse in nature without like being around other people.
It is. It's so fun. It's so beautiful. And so I was like, I'm going to learn to love golf. And slowly I did that over time. I started out with just like riding the cart when he went to go play golf. I'd be like, can I ride along? He'd be like, oh my gosh, that'd be so fun. I'd bring some drinks or something. We would just like chat and he'd play golf. And then I'd like take a couple shots here and there. And he like kind of taught me how to swing the club. And then eventually I was like, okay, like let me like play a couple holes or a couple of shots in a hole. And then slowly over time that would build up and build upon itself. And now I'm playing like 9 holes, you know? And it's like super fun that we get to do this together. It's a recreational activity that gets us out of the house. It gets us moving. It gets us like disconnected just from like our daily grind.
Yep.
Gets us out in nature and we can connect on something like an activity that we both enjoy.
Yeah.
That builds up our friendship.
Yep. So that's a great example that Mari did. You could also just do like the little things that happen in everyday life. You could just do them together. So whether it's cooking or cleaning or, you know, drinking your coffee together. Mm-hmm. But like just doing those things like that are a part of just daily life, but doing them together can make a big difference as opposed to just like, hey, you cook, I'm going to go upstairs and be by myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think companionship really just keeps marriage young. Like I hope that we like can keep this like young kind of dating energy alive for like as long as possible or like throughout our whole marriage.
Of course.
And I want our kids and people from the outside to look and be like, they're just a bunch of kids. Like they're just a bunch of goofballs. You know, like why are they always like smiling and laughing and like doing all these fun things together? Like I want that like friendship and youthfulness to kind of stay alive. And I think these activities and really leaning into companionship is a way to accomplish that.
Yep. All right.
Number 4 is teamwork.
Okay.
Trey, what do we got?
Teamwork, the definition we have here is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Practice mutual submission.
Teamwork is really about entering into this shared mission of marriage together and recognizing that there are two people in this relationship and that your job is to get each other to heaven and your job is to be able to work together to have a good marriage, to, you know, possibly raise children and to get them and your spouse to heaven. And so much of marriage is working together, not just in like additional things that we just talked about or like a shared goal, but it's really about like building your life together and doing life together. And there's obstacles that come along and you have to face them together. There's discussion or disagreements and you have to work on that together. There's need for compromise and there's two sides that need to be willing to compromise and understand and let go of things and take things on to be able to have a successful and strong marriage moving forward.
I think to understand teamwork and like how teamwork is a level of or an area of communion within marriage, mm-hmm. it's helpful to see what the obstacles are.
Yeah.
So the obstacles to teamwork are stubbornness and control. And so obviously, if you're experiencing stubbornness and controlling on either end of the marriage, that's going to create like separation and it's going to create disunity. And so the solution here is mutual submission. When there is mutual submission to each other, that shows a level of respect and it creates an environment for freedom. And whereas when there is stubbornness and control, then that creates a lack of freedom. And love, like love cannot flourish when there is a lack of freedom. Love can only flourish within an environment of freedom. And when there's control and stubbornness going on, then that will prevent love from happening. And so that's like, I think like seeing the obstacles and the solution to those obstacles helps understand like how teamwork is an area of communion and how important that is in a marriage.
Yeah. And like leading and yielding to each other are both forms of love.
Yeah.
And both forms of teamwork. And truly, it's such a selfless mindset when you really lean into teamwork, because you're choosing to understand the other person. You're choosing humility. You're choosing, yeah, to let go of control and to not be stubborn and to not just do things your way, over like winning and making your way the best way that needs to be moving forward.
Yeah. And I think this word mutual submission can kind of maybe feel weird in people's mouths or in their brains. and the what that means in like this biblical context, in this Christian context, is submission is self-gift. And it's like radical self-gift. And so it's not this like power imbalance and like one person has more power than the other person, but it's this mutual self-giving of each other, like for the good of the other. And that's love.
Yeah. So that's so good. So ways to overcome this obstacle or to bridge that gap of teamwork in your marriage is to enter into a discussion over something that has been maybe a disagreement or something that you haven't been able to come to an agreement on for a decision that you need to make in your marriage. So I would recommend like building upon the other types of unity before you kind of go into this, because I feel like that's important to lay a foundation.
Definitely.
But I remember when we did this in the marriage retreat, we were talking about you quitting your job and going full-time with West Coast Catholic.
That's right.
And at the time, I had fears about us being like financially prepared for that or the timing being right. And you wanted to take that leap to jump into work for West Coast Catholic and close the chapter of your full-time like corporate job.
Yep.
And so it's similar to the exercises we've done before, where one person shares their thoughts, their concerns, and the other person listens and repeats back, and you continue to refine, and then the other person goes. Then he shares his thoughts, his concerns, you repeat back, you absorb that. And then the goal in this conversation is to get closer to making a decision and to learning where can each of us like mutually submit to each other to be able to move forward with a decision. And it's about compromise.
Yeah. There's like the key is a mutual submission, because there's it's like you said it perfectly. Like it's not about trying to overpower the other one and convince them that your way is better. It's the submission, like what I said, is it's self-gift. It's sacrificing what you desire because you realize, because you love the other person and you see what they desire and you want them to have that. And so there's like, if you both are doing that, then you can find places for that like really beautiful compromise. Or even it could not even be compromise. It could just be like a true act of submission, not because the one person won the argument and they like outwitted the other person and proved to them that their way was better. But because the other person, like in their freedom, chose, hey, I actually, after hearing you out and hearing all your desires, like am willing to sacrifice what I want because I want you to have what you want.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's so true.
There's both.
That's so true. Yeah.
And one final thought with this activity, or I guess two short ones. One, start with something small. That's like not a really big deal.
Yeah.
And practice it. But then two, invite, like lean on the spiritual unity as well and invite God into it. And so like in prayer, you like the husband should submit his will to God, to God's will. The wife should in prayer, like together, submit her will to the will of God. And ultimately like what you're trying to do together is do the will of God mm-hmm. in your marriage and in your lives. Mm-hmm. And so there's submission happening to each other out of love, but there's also the submission to God and to his will.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the last marital communion aspect we're going to touch on is sexual intimacy. And I love this definition that they have here in the workbook. Love is a free, total, faithful, and fruitful gift of yourself. And sexual intimacy, in order to be loving, needs to express all of these areas. Sexual intimacy is truly just this bodily, physical expression of total gift of self. And on a spiritual level, because there's physical and there's spiritual and emotional level in sexual intimacy, it's a renewal of your wedding vows through the language of your body. And so that's one of the reasons why sex is so sacred and should be reserved within the context of marriage, because it is making these wedding vows to that person physically. So like what you say on the altar at your wedding is being renewed and made promises to each other every time you come together in the marital act as well. And so really that sexual unity is going to integrate so many different aspects, physical communion, spiritual, emotional communion. And I feel like is also like the glue in your marriage.
Yeah. Okay. So if we look at the definition of love, love is a free, total, faithful, and fruitful gift of yourself. So free, obviously, for sexual intimacy to occur, there has to be freedom. I think that's obvious. Total is giving the total gift of yourself. And so that's like what Mari was saying, this renewal of your wedding vows and giving your entire self and not withholding back. Mm-hmm. And then faithful, this means like don't be adulterous, don't be like sleeping around with a bunch of people, but being faithful to just your spouse. And then fruitful, that like true love in its purest form brings forth life. And so in the physical way, when you're like connecting and expressing love physically through the marital act, that is being open to what comes from that and that love and that bearing life. And so being sexual love, being fruitful is being open to life.
Yeah. And I've also heard it being talked about how like life in more ways than one, like for the marital act to be fruitful, it also is like bringing life into your marriage and your relationship. And it helps to do that, as well as obviously biologically.
Yep.
What happens is hopefully a child comes from that.
So obstacles to sexual intimacy, lust and insensitivity. So obviously lust is, if you're looking at the like virtues and vices, like the virtue is love and the vice is lust. It's on the other side. And so lust, what that incorporates is it's instead of it being self-gift, it's like selfish. It's basically like a distorted view of love because it's selfish and it's self-focused as opposed to self-giving.
And it's using instead of giving.
Yeah. And then insensitivity.
I would say that like insensitivity harms the level of like vulnerability you're able to have within sex because it is such a vulnerable opportunity in your marriage. And you need to be like sensitive to the needs of your spouse. Yeah. And if you are insensitive or apathetic or judgmental, that's going to close the other person off and not make them feel like they can give that total gift of self or free to love completely because there's fear of judgment or harshness, right? Like there needs to be a tenderness to the needs of the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So insensitivity like prevents that free and total aspects of love.
Mm-hmm.
And then the solutions is affection and lovemaking. So obviously lovemaking, we all know that. But affection, I think this is really important.
Super important.
You want to use your crockpot analogy?
I think that was their analogy.
Was that their analogy?
That was their analogy. That wasn't me. They shared that at the retreat. But they talked about how like men are like instant pots. Like they're ready in an instant, at any instant. And women are like crockpots. Like hours for us to like simmer and like to be ready, right?
Yep.
And so one thing I've heard that I think is brilliant is that like sex starts outside of the bedroom, like way before nighttime, right? Like you set your spouse up for success. And this especially goes for like men towards their wives.
Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah, being affectionate and loving her outside the bedroom throughout the day is going to make for a great bedroom experience.
Yeah. And so it's being affectionate throughout the day. Like when she's in the kitchen doing dishes, like going up behind her and hugging her. Or if like if you're gone from the day and you get home, like dropping everything and going and like embracing your wife, giving her a kiss, like saying hello. Mm-hmm. Or it's just like holding her hand or like putting your hand on the like back on her shoulders or on her back.
Mm-hmm. As you like, just like walk by like, her.
Yeah.
Like...
Or if you're like walking down the street, mm-hmm. like you can just like kind of guide her mm-hmm. in the direction you're going with the hand on the back. So just like those little ways of showing mm-hmm. that affection, mm-hmm. Mostly in like a physical touch way.
Yeah. But I think also like emotional intimacy plays a part here in the sexual unity because connecting on an emotional level throughout the day is also going to just strengthen that sexual intimacy. Because if you're providing moments where your spouse can share about what's going on in their inner world, that connection is being formed, which builds trust and safety so that then there's more freedom and trust and yeah. total gift in sex.
Yeah. yeah. So it all relates.
It all relates. A big all puzzle piece.
All of these areas of communion are very, very important. So to summarize the five again, it's spiritual unity, emotional intimacy, companionship, teamwork, and sexual intimacy. They're all very important.
Yeah. And each of them like feeds on the other and builds upon the other. And when one improves, the rest improve and deepen. So some advice would be to just kind of take all this content right back with your spouse and kind of reflect like maybe one area. Like what is one area that we feel like we're kind of lacking in and kind of what can we do in the future? What plan can we kind of put into place to work on our marriage to strengthen that area of our relationship? And then once one area is strengthened, like the rest will deepen and then you can kind of work on one at a time.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. I think the other thing too is like marital life is – it's a daily activity, like, and it's ordinary. And so, like, one big grand gesture is not going to fix all your problems. But it's doing the little things and building on those small habits and doing it consistently and daily is going to have a much bigger impact. So I would just encourage you all in that. But that's all we got for today.
Yeah, I really hope this was helpful. Shoot me a DM if you want to dive into any one of them more deeply. But really praying for all you guys in your marriages. Thanks so much for just trusting us to walk with you and guide you in it. And just a reminder again, like we're right there with you. We're learning alongside you. We're just really passionate about this. So we like have resources to share, but we're not marriage therapists or officials by any means. Nope. So if you're really struggling, like take that to a professional. don't just go off of our advice.
After party.
Yeah, let's move on to the after party. But well, before we go to the after party, we're going to do Everbee Answers. So this is the part where we answer one question on the show and then the rest will be answered by us at the after party. Okay. But you've never done Everbee Answers, so you'll be here too. Let's see. Okay, so our question today here is, I've heard a lot about The Chosen and how it helps people see scripture in a new way, but I've not watched it myself yet. As a Catholic, I want to be mindful about what I take in. So from your perspective, do you feel like The Chosen aligns well with Catholic teaching and devotion? How do you encourage Catholics to approach shows like this that portray the life of Jesus?
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
So The Chosen is great.
We love The Chosen.
We love The Chosen. It's a great TV show. It is not like 1,000% the exact...
Biblically accurate.
Biblically accurate. Like it is... inspired by scripture mm-hmm. and they take some creative liberties mm-hmm. and it is really spot on. Like there yeah. are like, and I know that when they, I know the creators, it was like an ecumenical effort, that the creators of The Chosen did to like make sure that, it was very ecumenical in the fact that like the Mormons, the Christian, the Jews, the Catholics, like we could all, there wasn't anything in the series that would be like completely antithetical to their religion. And so,
yeah.
I actually heard one of the founders of Angel Studios say that they had like a council of like Catholic bishops, like rabbis, Jewish rabbis, the whoever they're called in the Mormon church, and some Christian like Protestant pastors, like there was like a committee and they would take the script to that committee and say, is there anything in here that is antithetical to your faith that like you would not want to watch it? And they would then like, all of them would then like highlight or cross out the things that they didn't want. And they would go back to writing and they would just go back and forth until they like landed on a version that
was all agreed upon.
So you could absolutely watch it as a Catholic. I have loved it. Martin and I have loved it. It's been a beautiful depiction of the life of Christ.
Yeah.
And we love it. I think the only thing with that is, like understand that there are creative
liberties
that are taken. Don't take it as like complete church teaching in fact.
Yeah.
But it's a great show.
And if you have questions on it, look it up, right? Like look up from a Catholic perspective, like what the approach is here or if this actually happened or not. You know, if you have doubts that you feel like are actually impeding your faith or your relationship with God. But in my experience, I haven't experienced any of that. Like in my experience, it's only strengthened my faith. It's only strengthened my relationship with God and gave me a new way to engage with scripture and a new way to understand Jesus. Obviously, Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus, like is doing the best that he can to portray the most important person who's ever walked this earth, the biggest historical figure who was literally not just not a historical figure, but like our savior and Jesus Christ, right? So he does his absolute best. And sure, there's parts of Jesus that maybe aren't accurate or maybe we don't know, but none of us know. But he's portrayed in such a beautiful, tender, real way that I think it bridges the gap for a lot of people who have hesitations about Jesus as a person, and it's helped me in my relationship with him a ton. So I think it's great and safe to watch. All right, that's all we got for today. So now we'll just move on to the after party where we'll answer these last two questions. The questions we'll be answering are, could you explain more about SEEK for those of us who have never attended, which is so exciting. I love talking about SEEK. And then what are some ways that you and Trey prepared for marriage during your engagement season, especially with a nuance to long distance? So we'll be sharing those at the after party for all those that are in our Kingdom Club.
And if you're not, come join.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media. And give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.